warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for our weekly show, The Tenpenny Files on Your Health and More. For the last 24 years, I've given thousands of interviews, and one way or another, most of my information is about vaccines. But as a trained ER doc who's been a director of a level 2 trauma center for 12 years and an integrative physician since 1996, yeah, I'm old. I've been doing this a long time. There are many other topics to discuss. The Tenpenny Files is an educational show on your health and more. So today, my special guest is Jennifer Strickland, author of I Am a Woman, Taking Back Our Name. And we have some explosive things to cover. You won't want to miss this. This is an amazing interview. Sit tight. We'll be right back.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch within our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Jennifer Strickland is the author of several books. Her most recent is I Am a Woman, Taking Back Our Name, demonstrates her fervent advocacy for claiming the essence of true womanhood. As the founder of As the founder of You Are More and the host of I Am a Woman podcast, she challenges the cultural agendas standing against the transgender movement with her compelling voice. A former runway model with a background in broadcast journalism and writing, Jennifer Strickland's books, other books include Perfect Girl and Beautiful Lies. All of her books empower women to embrace their God-given identity. Strickland holds a bachelor's degree in broadcast journalism and a master's degree in writing and literature. She lives with her husband and three children in Texas. So Jennifer, welcome to the Tenpenny Files on your health. I really am looking forward to this conversation with you today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's an honor.
Well, thank you. You know, one of your Amazon blurbs, you know, I do a lot of research on my guests before they come on because I really want to feel like I know a bit about you and about what you've written. And one of them said you started your modeling career at age 8. That seems so young. How did that start at such a young age?
Well, it wasn't very coordinated. And so my mom was trying to get me some grace, basically. I wasn't good at sports and I didn't like ballet or tap, or I didn't like the balance beam and all of those things. And, you know, got rejected from the cheerleading squad and there was just other things. And so my mom was trying to find a place where I could fit. There was a local modeling school in our town. And she signed me up for a class, and I ended up graduating from the school and winning the most potential model trophy and moving on to Hollywood when I was 17 years old. So I did TV commercials and things like that in those early years, and then moved over to Europe at 17 when I graduated from high school and began modeling internationally.
You know, I read a lot on your site about your story, about, you know, all the different things that had happened and a part of being in that industry, that beauty industry, and how they're building you up on the one side and smashing you down on the other side, and all the issues with bulimia and anorexia that happens in that community, a lot of homosexuality in that community that I've read about in other sorts of places. And I know you work a lot with young girls, and if there was a girl that said, you know, I've always wanted to model. I think that's what I really want to do. How would you answer her, having been there, on looking back? What would you say to her?
I would tell her to focus on her gifts and talents, that building a life on your outward appearance is eventually going to destroy you. I mean, that's just the truth. You cannot live your whole life focused on your body, which is always going to be changing. And that's why I'm so passionate about teaching girls that, you know, the reflection in the mirror is always going to change. People's opinions are always going to change. The fads in the media are always going to change. The way you look in pictures, these are all sort of shifting mirrors that girls look to for their worth. And what ends up happening is it's very subtle, but you know, when you go into the modeling industry, you're dealing with like hundreds, if not thousands, of photographers who are on the other side of the lens. And you, as a young woman, begin naturally to look to them for your value and for your worth. You can fall trapped to the comparison game with other girls. And I just don't recommend that young girls get into the modeling industry. There's too many predators. And then we have situations all the time where moms will ask me, oh, my daughter, you know, she's a strong Christian. She's going to get in the modeling industry and she's going to be a light. And, you know, I guess it's possible if you really know your identity and you really know who you are and your worth. But the truth is that the parents will accompany them in the beginning. And then when a girl gets to be about 17, 18 years old and she's considered an adult, mom doesn't come with her to the photo shoots. Dad doesn't accompany them in the dressing rooms. And she's going to be a subject to the eyes of many, many people examining her body, skin, hair, eyes, you know, whatever her flaws might be, all the time. And ultimately, that can be very damaging to your self-esteem. So I teach girls to focus on their gifts and talents and abilities and fan those into flame, which is what I did when I left the modeling industry. I went back to school, got my master's degree in writing. I always wanted to be a writer. But while I was in the business, it was just a slow chipping away, really, of my soul. And, you know, we're just more than a body. We're more than a pretty face. We've always been created by God to do so much more than what you see on the outside.
Very much so. And that whole experience led you to your most recent book. You know, we're going to talk more about your You Are More and your podcast. But how did this book, particularly the subtitle of Taking Back Our Name, the full title of the book is I Am a Woman, Taking Back Our Name. What prompted you as a writer to write that book?
Well, the foundation of my ministry has really been, you know, the things that I struggled with when I was in the business, which was self-image, identity, value, worth, you know, how women and girls recover from things like sexual abuse and body dysmorphia. And this concept of sexual identity began really creeping into the culture, in which the culture was teaching children that you are your sexual feelings. That is who you are. And that's just a falsehood. You know, all of my books and Bible studies are on identity and body image. And so when I saw the culture beginning to promote this lie that people can be born in the wrong body, I knew that that was a lie from the pit of hell, that, you know, God created us in our mother's wombs, and he created us with purpose and intention and a destiny in mind, and our bodies have value. And it is just a lie to tell children that they were born in the wrong body. And it's also a lie, obviously, that a male can be female and a female can be male. So when this sort of wave of gender dysphoria fell on the daughters and sons of our nation during COVID, I began to notice that the dictionary, a Cambridge Dictionary, Merriam-Webster Dictionary, changed the definition of the word man and woman and male and female. They were also infiltrating universities with information from GLAAD that tells kids not to use the words mankind, for example. And, you know, mankind was created in the image of God. It was obviously, it was so obvious that this was an attack on the Imago Dei, on that we are created in God's image, male and female. And that's a gift, and it's a calling, and it's assignment. That womanhood is really an action. So when we saw the Supreme Court justice nominee in those hearings a few years ago refuse to answer the question, what is a woman, and say that she couldn't answer that question, which is a total lie, of course she could. I felt that it was a clarion call for the women of God to answer the question, what is a woman? And so I began to look deeply into God's word about the word woman, and understanding that being a woman is a life-giving action, among many other things that I go into a lot of depth in my new book. I looked at the ancient biblical Hebrew, I looked at the letters in the word woman that all have action for the body, soul, and spirit. And yeah, so I just felt that it was obvious to speak up. You know, at the same time, to be totally honest, I had people that I love very deeply in the Pride movement declaring non-binary identities and joining the Pride movement, being sort of swept away by it. And so I have a really deep compassion for people in the homosexual community, because I grew up in the modeling industry, so I was surrounded by gay men. They're makeup artists. And so, you know, when people try to call me transphobic or homophobic or whatever, I understand that that's a thought reform tactic. When you have to cancel people who are speaking the truth, that's indicative of thought reform. So I've also done a very deep study in thought reform back when I was getting my master's degree. And so I knew that we were in a brainwashing movement. I knew that we were experiencing thought reform, as you obviously experienced in speaking out against COVID. And I also knew that I loved people in the Pride movement. And so I had to really weigh on a personal level that if I was gonna take a stance on gender, what that would mean for personal extended family relationships. And I did lose some of those relationships for a period of time. I did get cut off from some relationships because I took a stance on male and female. But the Lord is restoring those relationships now, and I had to do what I knew that God was calling me to do. You cannot study body image for 20 years and not speak up about the fact that children in our nation are being mutilated. And the word woman means life-saving help for mankind, and it does have a definition. And I felt like it was my responsibility to use whatever voice and influence I have to speak on it.
I don't quite understand why this has become such an issue. I mean, it's just as plain to me as the nose on your face, and why it causes such contention, and why people are, like you said, you've lost friends and family members, why people are hateful about it. Can you explain to me how they see it through their eyes and their ears, how their lens?
Absolutely.
So conflicting to them?
Absolutely. You know, Beckett Cook talks about this on his podcast, and it's the thing about the sexual and gender identity. Let's talk about sexual identity and gender identity. Well, this whole concept is new, okay? And it is incongruent with like Christian faith and belief, because as a Christian, I understand that Jesus never talked to the adulterous woman and called her, you know, the adulterous woman. He called her loved. He called her forgiven, right? You know, Philip never stopped the Ethiopian eunuch on the side of the road and said, "Are you trans?" You know, because he was a eunuch. He'd been castrated. No, he said, you know, "What are you reading?" He had a conversation with him. He got in the chariot with him. He leaned in to his life and to his story. And the eunuch related to Christ on the cross that he had would have no descendants. He was reading that passage from Isaiah. And we just don't identify people by sexuality. It's just not the way that God sees us. And so this concept of sexual identity, I mean, you can go into Women's Health Magazine, you can go into Parents Magazine, you can go into healthline.com, and they will list, as I do in my book, they will list hundreds of different sexual and gender identities. And it's just a falsehood. We just don't teach children that their sexual urges or feelings are who they are. But if you open Parents Magazine today and you read an article that says, what do you do if my child comes to me and tells me that they're gay or trans? Parents Magazine tells parents, you're supposed to say, thank you for telling me who you are. Okay. With this movement, it becomes who they are. So their identity is wrapped up completely in their sexuality. So if you, so it's very shocking to people in that movement for you to say your homosexual feelings is not who you are. It's not who you are. But to them, it is who I am, and this sort of self ID, in other words, I say who I am. It's very interesting. I mean, there's God calls himself the great I am. It is Satan's perversion to tell the created thing that they decide who they are, that not their creator doesn't determine male or female, but they decide, they get to be God. They get to exalt themselves up against the Most High and say, I say who I am. Well, feelings change, fluctuate from day to day. You know, a lot of these girls that declared non-binary and trans identities during COVID and in their teens, they're growing out of it because it's not helpful for their relationships. They pronouns mean nothing and it's incongruent with English language. So they will grow out of it and they will change, and it's not who they are. And that is the problem. That is the problem in communicating with people in the trans movement, which is why we have to communicate them in the universal language of love. That is the language that they're going to understand. Because every heart is wired to be seen and to be known and to be loved. And so if we invite, as Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch, if we invite relationship, if we get in their chariot, if we go to their house, if we sit at their table, if we get to know them, if we love them unconditionally, and we see them through the lens of love, that their real identity is that they're the creations of God, that ultimately they can become children of God. Their bodies are holy. Their body is a temple. Those are just simple truths that I understand from identity. That's what you're up against. You're up against a brainwashing movement that has convinced them that their sexual feelings or their mood, whatever pronouns they have or whatever, which are meaningless, are who they are. It's just not
true. It's so interesting because, you know, years ago, you know, I'm sure I'm older than you, but you know, we're not teenagers anymore, either one of us. And
right.
So it's like, you know, when we were growing up, I mean, if there was a girl that liked to play baseball and liked to hunt frogs and liked to, you know, dig in the dirt, we just called her a tomboy. Mm-hmm. And if there were boys that liked to play piano and liked to, you know, draw and maybe sing and do things like that, you know, he was just expressing himself and doing what he enjoyed. It wasn't that, oh, they're in the wrong body. And this little girl who's being a tomboy needs to be a boy. I mean, I've interviewed a couple of people that have said things like that said, when I was growing up, I was the tomboy in the family. I grew up with four brothers. It was four brothers and me. And so I did all the things that I did to be able to be with my brothers. And if I would have been born now, they would have said, oh, well, you're trans. You really should be a boy. And so how we have, like what you said, the things have just manipulated and changed things around where that to do things that we wouldn't even have thought of before. And it's shocking how our school systems have become so woke and are, you know, we're starting to, you know, I've seen TikTok videos of first grader teachers who are like, the kids come into class in the morning and they get to pick a pronoun out of a basket. And that's who they're going to be that day. Is going to be that. That's going to be their pronoun of what they identify with for that day. And so it's a really mass manipulation of how we have convinced everybody that that's okay, and that from a Christian perspective, you know, we have bought into this acceptance and love And we can't challenge them ever and say, well, wait a minute. You know, if I'm a parent, I can't say, no, wait a minute. If, you know, I saw a video, this was really kind of funny, that this this girl, I can't remember if it was a girl or a boy, went to their father and said that they were, you know, they were going to transition to be the opposite sex. He said, you know, I'm going to do that with you. And so the next day he put on a skirt and wore high heels. And the kid was like mortified that their father would do, and it just like changed everything. It's like throwing it back into their faces. Mm-hmm. So it's in terms of a decision. And I saw another video one time where it said, you know, 12-year-old girls and boys, they can't buy alcohol. They can't vote. They can't be in the army. They can't get married without consent. But a 12-year-old now can have permission to totally mutilate their body and change things that is irreversible without even their parental consent. How did we get to that point? How did we get to the point where we are giving these life-altering decisions to children, and we're just supposed to condone it and go along with it?
Well, we can't condone it. We can't go along with it, because that would be not true to our faith. So those that are afraid to speak up, you know, the Bible says the fear of man will be a snare for you. It's about the fear of man. It's about fear of rejection. It's about even fear of imprisonment in some states, and even up in Canada. It's about people pleasing. It's about all these unhealthy idols that we put before the fact that we are to represent Christ in the world. And, you know, Jesus says that, you know, you hurt a child, it'd be better to be buried at the bottom of sea. The wise woman of Proverbs, you know, the wise woman, I did a huge study of the word woman in writing this book. And there's the wise woman and the foolish woman. And the foolish woman exalts sexuality and demeans men, and demeans the family. And the wise woman uses her influence to uphold men, to uphold the family, to protect children, speak up for the vulnerable. But when you think about the foolish woman, you know, the feminist movement was founded on a very corrupt foundation. The feminist movement's agenda was to prove that men and women are the same. That, you know, I can do everything a man can do. We're gonna smash the patriarchy. I can have sex like a man. Well, none of those things are true, okay? First of all, no relationship is ever going to flourish if one of them wants to smash the other. So the idea that we were gonna smash the patriarchy, smash men, and somehow find fulfillment and happiness is just not true. The feminist movement taught girls that their name doesn't mean life. I mean, the first woman, Eve, her name means life-giving. So the first woman, the mother of all living, her name means life-giving. So the feminist movement said, your name doesn't mean life-giving. In fact, you'll be more empowered if you exterminate the life in your own body. And it won't affect your soul. It won't affect, you know, and I mean, being the ministry that I have, I mean, I don't know how many women I've had crying at the altar in my office or on my couch over their abortions, because what affects the body affects the soul. And so the feminist movement denies completely the PTSD caused by abortion. They deny completely the authority of a man over his own descendants. I mean, the fact that it's my body, my choice. I mean, it's unbelievably selfish. Number one, it's not your body. Number one, it's somebody else's child. The father is responsible to protect his descendants. That's what fathers do. And so to say, we don't need the father, we don't need men. Men were emasculated by that movement. They were told to sit down and shut up when it comes to women's rights. And so the seeds for all of this was sown long time ago. The feminists got money from the government and began infiltrating the universities with these women's studies programs, which were just basically feminist brainwashing sessions that told women and girls that children have no value because they will die on that hill for abortion. And so children have no value, men have no value. And you can be just like a man you can go out there and work out in the world and vacate your home and no one will suffer. And you'll flourish and you'll find happiness and success. Well, divorce went on the rise. Mental illness among children went on the rise. Women cannot vacate the home. The word woman means life-saving help. So when the woman leaves the home, the family falls apart. And I'm not saying every woman has to be like a stay-at-home mother, but ultimately the home is the woman's post to guard. I mean, she guards the spiritual atmosphere in the home. It's biblical and it's just true. And so unfortunately, the feminist movement never understood what a woman was to begin with.
Mm, well said.
Yeah. So now they didn't stand up for men. They didn't stand up for children. They're not going to stand up for women because you're not standing up for the family, for the human family as having any value. So they don't really care about the girls because one of their mantras was sex work is work. Well, how many girls, I mean, since her voice, the voice of the foolish woman who exalts sexuality, since that voice became the domineering voice in our nation, pornography is just become ridiculously, insanely abusive, awful, absolutely awful and terrifying. And any girl, any young girl who sees pornography today, no wonder she's rejecting femininity. No wonder she doesn't want to be a girl. She sees the pornography that women are demeaned, women are choked, women are suffocated, women are beaten, women are demoralized. I would be terrified of being with a man if I was 11 years old, 12 years old, the average time, you know, age a girl today sees pornography. I would be terrified. So no wonder they're rejecting femininity. No wonder they don't want to be women, because women are not modeling healthy femininity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Healthy womanhood for them.
That's so true. You know, Jennifer, we're going to take a really quick break and we're going to come back in just a minute. We're talking today with Jennifer Strickland, the author of several books. Her most recent book is I Am a Woman, Taking Back Our Name, Taking Back Our Position and What It's All About. Her deep dives just sound amazing. It's a book that you should have on your shelf and to be able to talk to other people. We're going to take a quick break. We've got more to come. We'll be right back.
We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our Opti line, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Thanks for staying with us today. We're talking to Jennifer Strickland about her book, I Am a Woman, Taking Back Our Name. But you are also the founder of You Are More. Tell us about what that is all about. And in your other book that just really fascinated me just from the title was Girl Perfect. I just think that, you know, there's so many girls that they, and with your background as a runway model and being all about beauty and focused on your body and, you know, how you couldn't eat, you couldn't, you know, have a little even puffy tummy, or you were like out. And so now you've started this organization called You Are More. So young and working with young girls, and this book Girl Perfect, I think is just amazing. Cause I've read a lot about it. I spent a lot of time on your website, which is really fascinating. So why don't you tell us about your organization and some of the other books that you've written?
Absolutely. So You Are More we're a nonprofit ministry that produces resources, live events, and mentoring to teach women and girls their value, identity, and purpose in Christ. And so, yeah, it all started with Girl Perfect. It all started with my testimony. I never set out to start a ministry. I just had an encounter with Jesus while I was working as a model over in Europe. I was at rock bottom. I was deeply hurt. I was dealing with an eating disorder. I was dealing with drug and alcohol issues. I had been violated. I didn't know how to talk about it. I was surrounded by girls with eating disorders. And I ended up also struggling badly with anorexia for a period of time when I was doing the runway for Giorgio Armani. And I had an encounter, there was a series of people who reached out to me literally on the street and in the parks and in the metros of Europe and shared Christ with me, invited me to church. And eventually I gave my life over to the Lord and I walked away from the business after 15 years in that business. And I just was gonna write my story to help girls with their self-image and their identity. And this is the 15th anniversary edition of Girl Perfect. We just re-released it again. And, you know, it was trying to think of, you know, what were the things in common, you know, with my experience. And it was, I was looking for perfect, you know, I was looking for the perfect image, the perfect dream, the perfect affirmation, acceptance and success story and all of these things. And they're just is no perfect on earth. Like you're like I said, your body's always changing, your skin's always changing. And so identifying myself with all of those things just left me empty. And Christ began to fill my cup. And so I wrote my book and it went all over the world. It was translated in 5 languages. And then I went on to write the Girl Perfect Study Guide and develop a video series. And the Girl Perfect Study Guide is really powerful. It was just my journey to healing and finding how to find fulfillment in God alone. And then I went on I began teaching a series called Men, Mirrors and Magazines. Like girls get their identity from man or from the mirror or from the media. And those things are always changing. And so then that led to a whole nother series of books and curriculum that I did. It's called Beautiful Lies. The first one's called Beautiful Lies and it has a, you know, Beautiful Lies study guide. This is all identity. So Girl Perfect is all about like fulfillment. Where do you get your fulfillment? And I think girls today get it from image. So they get to study God's word. What does God's word say about image? You know, I mean, not a lot of people know that Satan himself was called the model of perfection in Ezekiel 28. And he's whispering these lies into these girls' minds that you have to be perfect to be loved. You have to be flawless to be beautiful. That there is some sort of element of perfection that you can get to for your identity and for your acceptance. And then Beautiful Lies is just teaching identity. You know, God is the Father, we are the daughters. He's the creator, we're the creation. He's the Lord, we're the temple. Our bodies are a temple, they're holy. This is why like I taught this for so long that it just was so clear to me that this whole attack on the children of God was an attack on the holiness of the body, of the temple, that it's you know, our bodies are not, you know, God knows more about beauty than a man with a scalpel. I'll just say it that way.
Or a needle, right? You know, to inject things, you know, those things. You know, on the website, just for those that are listening, is U, capital R, M-O-R-E, youaremore.org. is the website. It's really well done. It has great information and you have some curriculum kits. And the one that really caught my eye was Pretty from the Inside Out. Mm-hmm. I thought, what an incredible message to give young girls.
Yeah.
So how are kids and how do kids become part of these programs?
So, well, the best thing in the world is to invite girls into your home, you know, and do what I call circle sisters. I call it, you know, get the girls in a circle, invite them over and do fun things with them. And Pretty from the Inside Out is, one of my passions is that older women are to teach the younger. That's another reason why I wrote I'm a Woman, by the way, is because I knew that the older women needed to model a righteous resistance for the younger generation. We needed to know who we are so that we know what to do in a moment that we're in right now. And so the way I learned who I am, my identity in Christ, was through this one, through Beautiful Lies. And then I took Beautiful Lies and I turned it into a teen girls book called More Beautiful Than You Know, and did a video series. And they all have videos, they have leader guides, whole curriculum kits. And then Pretty from the Inside Out is the PG, is the girls. So they learn, like, I'm more than what I see in the mirror. I'm a creation of God. You know, my body is holy. I'm worth protecting. I'm a light to this world. I have gifts and talents, and that's how I'm going to shine my light, is focusing not on my appearance. Because even the Bible says, the more you look at the images of man, the more dark your heart will be. And that's what's going on with the girls, is that they're looking at thousands of images every single day, and it darkens the human heart. We're supposed to turn and look to what we cannot see, God, our creator, for our reflection and our values. So the girls learn that, you know, he is the father, I am the daughter, he's the creator, I'm the creation, he's the Lord, I'm the temple, he's the light, I'm the light, you know, and I'm his witness and representative, and I don't have to be controlled by media. If I use media, it's to shine a light into the world. It's to bring truth into the world, and not to get my, you know, identity from, you know, whether or not people like my pictures, because that's a dead end road.
Yeah, and I've read some about how the girls, you know, with Facebook or even with TikTok, you know, you see the perfect image, like you said in your book, you know, you're the perfect image, and they don't know. In the video is like 3 minutes, and that they think that that's their whole life, but it's just this little slice of 3 minutes, and that there's so much more depression and isolation amongst young people because they spend so much time on Facebook and TikTok and Instagram. And we've all seen the pictures of like four teenagers or four people in their young 20s that have gone out to dinner, and they're all sitting around the table and they're all looking at their phones instead of talking and communicating with each other. I read a small little short study. It was an article that I read that a group of teenagers, they were going to decide to go on a complete turn off their phones and not be attached to any internet for a full 30 days.
Wow.
And how there was a group of maybe 10 of them, and they were mentored by this father who was the actual one of the kids' dads, and how they went through a withdrawal period of not being on the technology and being so used to that. But then as they were away from it, they started eyeballing and looking at the other people in the group, and they started talking to people in the group, and they started doing things like campfires and roasting marshmallows and things that we all used to do when we were kids, when we didn't have this thing that we were attached to all the time. And so I'm sure in you're teaching girls to do things like that too, about like getting off of the technology and it's not real.
Yeah. I challenge them in these books to do a fast from the mirror, because that's one of the things that really changed my life, is that when I was really struggling with my outward appearance after I left the modeling industry, I fasted from looking in the mirror for 40 days, and it was absolutely transformative for me. It helped me to look outward, you know, and when we were kids, you know, the iPhone, you know, didn't exist, obviously, and cameras were pointed outward. Cameras pointed were designed to capture memories. And then right before Girl Perfect came out, the month before, the iPhone turned inward. And all of a sudden, they are now seeing their own image and analyzing their own image all the time. And it really keeps you from, you know, healing from eating disorders and all of that stuff. It really comes from looking outward. It really comes from using your gifts and talents to bless others and to speak into others' lives and to make a difference for other people. And once you start serving other people, you get your eyes off yourself and the scale and the mirror and all of that. You really become who you're meant to be. So these are conversations like every older woman should be mentoring a younger woman, every single one. All of us have younger women around us that we can be speaking into their lives. We can be modeling for them healthy femininity. We can be challenging the lies of the culture, but we have to teach them what the lies of the culture really are, you know, because so many of them, even from that series of books, Pretty from the Inside Out, you know, the number one lie is, I am what man thinks of me. I'm only as good as, you know, what that boy at school thinks of me, or how I compare with the other girls, or what my father says or he doesn't say, that my father determines whether or not I'm worth protecting. You have to turn away from man and look to God. And because every single day, God calls his daughters the apple of my eye, that he's got his eye upon us, that he sees our pain. He sees our hurt. He sees our suffering. He sees our trials and our triumphs. And he will guide us with his eye. But when we're focused on the eyes of other people or on our own image, all of these things corrode identity. And it's sad because right now we're at such an important time in our nation. You know, I talked about how the feminist movement has impacted the nation a little bit. I go deeper into it and I'm a woman, but we can turn this nation around. We can turn a family around. We can turn a community around by using our voices to model healthy identity and womanhood. But we can't be afraid to speak up about it. And we have to show the girls, this is the lie. Like, here's the lie. You can be born in the wrong body. Let's talk about that. I don't know why every pastor in this nation is not talking about that. I mean, the scriptures are just full. It's literally through and through. I mean, Jeremiah 1:5, I knew you before the womb. Maybe these pastors need to read my Bible studies. I understand. I know like all these verses, the potter and the clay. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Jesus is the one who said, this is my body, my choice that I lay down my life for you. And it's just the enemy just takes it and just twists it. And so we need to be exposing these lies. We need to be talking about this, and we can actually repair the relationship between the sexes by understanding what the word woman and man and what it means in scripture. And so that's really my passion now, is to be like, okay, let's answer the what is a woman question. Let's answer it with clarity.
I don't understand the men that want to breastfeed, you know, that they call chest feeding now. Somebody sent me a picture yesterday, and it was a picture of a man sitting in front of a display of tampons, and the word at the top said they call it menstruation for a reason. And it was, and why would men want to have this experience of being a woman, that they would, you know, castrate themselves, remove their penis, try to have a vagina, try to, you know, breastfeed. I mean, you know, as recently as probably 10 years ago, we would have labeled that as mental illness.
And it is mental illness.
And we would have, but I mean, as a physician, we would have labeled it as mental illness and treated it as such, you know, through counseling or medications or sending them to their pastor or whatever. But instead, now we are being brainwashed into accepting this as like a, you know, it's okay. It's like an okay thing to do.
People are being pressured to agree with a lie. Mm. And we cannot agree with a lie. I won't do that. I will not use incorrect pronouns speaking to children. I mean, Jordan Peterson talked about this, that was going to cause a wave of gender dysphoria. Plus, pronouns are the most meaningless words in the English language. I have my master's in writing. I taught grammar. I mean, when you teach grammar, you underline the subject and you circle the verb because the pronoun has no meaning. It's our verbs that have meaning. If Instagram had something to fill out, it should be like, what do you do? What is your actions? Because if I was to say I'm a they, them, or she, her, that says nothing about who I am. But if someone said, what do you do? Who are you? What are your verbs? That tells me so much about you. I'm a writer, I'm a speaker, I'm a mother, I'm an influencer, you know, I'm a writing coach. Like, there's all these things that I do that is who I am. But this is, once again, when a movement manipulates language, if you look at Lifton's criteria, eight criteria for thought reform and mind control, it begins with manipulating the language and then punishing people who don't use the language. And so this whole language of misgendering and pansexual and homosexual, non-binary, and all of this new terms that they punish people if you don't use them. We have to be willing to be rejected, and we have to be willing, because this is like, children's lives are at stake.
For sure. Absolutely. And, you know, mutilating them is irreversible. I mean, they can't really go back. So tell us where they can, where we can best get your book and listen to your podcast, because you have obviously so much to say. Where are the best places to find you, follow you, and support you?
So you can go, like you said, to youaremore.org. It's the letter U, the letter R, M-O-R-E.org. That's where all of our ministry resources are housed. You can get small group curriculum for preteens and teens and women of all ages. You can also join my online book clubs and Bible studies, which I do. And I'm doing one right now with I Am a Woman. I'll do another one next spring again with I Am a Woman, taking women through the book and the principles so that we can all answer the what is a woman question with clarity, and understand how to reach out to people in the Pride movement with compassion and look at them through the lens of love and develop relationship, because it's really in relationship we'll then be able to have permission to speak truth. So it's kind of how we do it that is really, really important. So yeah, you can go to my website, youaremore.org. You can find me on Instagram at @JenniferStrickland_author. And I'm on Facebook, and yeah, I love what I do, and I'm gonna do it till the day I die.
That's very good. It's just so important. And I think you're right about this book. I Am a Woman. Pastors need to be reading this, and adult women need to be reading this and have the right language to give to their children. Well, we've got just a couple of minutes left, Jennifer. What words of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience here tonight?
Well, the word woman in Hebrew, which is God's language in Genesis, it's an action. And it's not just XX chromosomes. In God's language, Hebrew, there's action for body, soul, and spirit. So to be a woman is to be a stabilizer to mankind, is to be an opposing voice to sin, is to protect and guard men and the human family. To be a woman is to bring life to every environment you are in, body, soul, and spirit. And so I would just challenge every woman out there to understand that women naturally talk. It's a funny thing that the letters that spell the Hebrew word for a woman spell voice of fire. That a woman was created to either bring life or destroy with her words. The feminist movement has caused enough destruction. It is time for godly women to rise up and to use our voices as a purifying fire over our nation, over our families and our marriages. To bring life with our words and to tell the next generation of girls, your name, woman, means life. You were created to bring life, and that is a privilege and a responsibility. And we can take back our name, but we need to have the language on how to do that. How to say off the top of your head, woman is a life giver, a stabilizer, a guardian, and a shield, and a help, and a rescuer of mankind. That woman is the breath of fire who can bring her, use her voice to turn this nation around and to really spread the gospel. That's the last thing I want to say, is that, look, this whole gender bending spirits that have come into our nation and are messing with all of the kids. In ancient Greece and Rome, there was all these gender-bending spirits. They worshipped sexuality. They worshipped Venus and all of these Aphrodite and all these goddesses of sexuality. What drove that out of those cultures was the gospel. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can, you know, the word, Jesus, the first word he spoke when he rose from the dead, according to the book of John, was woman. Woman, breath of fire, stabilizer, one who brings revelation. One who helps mankind go and speak the good news. So we have an incredible opportunity right now to recover our name, reclaim our name, and to speak it into every church, every environment, every marriage, every family, every community, every school board, whatever influence. You know, we're all influencers, all of us. Whatever area that you can influence with the truth that we're created male and female in the image of God, and we were created to bring life with our words and with our bodies, with our souls, do it. do it. This is the time, and we are responsible to use our voices for good.
Absolutely. Oh, amen to that. Amen to that. You're absolutely right that we have to be the light to lead. We have to lead. So I want to thank you so much, Jennifer. I was not disappointed. I knew this was going to be a great conversation. I was really looking forward to this. So I want to thank you so much for joining me here today, and all of our regular listeners that come and listen to us. And we really appreciate you being here. So mark your calendars for next week, same place, same time, on the Tenpenny Files on Your Health. And with that, I close with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my podcasts with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. And be persistent in prayer now more than ever. So until we meet in the next time, remember to lean into God, trust Him for everything. Jennifer, thank you again, not only for this conversation tonight, but for the work you're doing with these young women. God bless you, and I hope that it continues to be a great success for you. And to everybody else, have a great week, everyone. Good night, and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com, and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.